400-verse treatise by Aryadeva, chapter 3, indicating methods for ridding yourself of grasping at the body as clean. Even if you make use of a pleasurable object for a very long time, there's never an end when you're totally satisfied. Like a bad doctor, the exhausting efforts you make for your body will have no effect. Just as some earthworms who devote themselves to eating dirt can never reverse their craving for dirt, likewise, for people who devote themselves to indulging their cravings, their desires for them only increase. As all women are a composite of dirty substances, there is not the slightest difference at all in having intercourse with any of them. As their bodies will be enjoyed by others as well, for instance by vultures and worms when they're dead, what can a woman of superior beauty do for you? Anyone can find anyone else attractive and become infatuated with them and rejoice in their beauty. But as this is common even among dogs and such with respect to their mates, O dull-witted one, why are you so attached to yours? Any woman who seems gorgeous to you in all her parts has, prior to meeting you, been commonly relished by everyone. So when you find her, don't become at all as astonished as you do, and become attached to her as solely your own. If you see beautiful women with good qualities as attractive, and those who are opposite as the reverse, well, as no one can be categorized as having only good qualities or only bad, of the former or the other, which one is truly attractive or repulsive? The desire of a fool doesn't arise only for women having good qualities. Rather, the desire of those who become involved with women who are not reasonable causes for attachment comes from causes that would normally produce the opposite effect. What's the reason for this? A woman who has excessive desire for you is like a bad, contagious disease. She'll remain with you only so long as she doesn't come to know another man's taste. As she must always be guarded from such circumstances, don't ever feel secure in her love and become attached. When you're old, the promiscuous escapades you had in your youth will no longer be so obsessively desirous. So why should arhats who've become liberated not be thoroughly disgusted with these amorous follies of youth? Those with no attachment to women do not consider as happiness being with a woman, while those who do have attachment are not unbeguiled. Therefore, what kind of happiness does someone have whose mind is always turned away from the nature of reality toward attachment to women? It is not supreme. You'll not always be able to stay together with the woman to whom you're so devoted. Therefore, to hold on to the notion that this one is mine and not anyone else's, what is this for? If attachment to women were happiness, then there would be no purpose for Buddha to have taught purifying oneself of attachment to women, since it would eliminate happiness. And no matter how much you look, you don't see in the scriptures happiness is to be given up. Even when you're in union with a woman, your happiness comes from other causes besides the woman, such as your disturbing emotions, fantasies, and so forth. Who but a fool would maintain that its cause was only his wife herself? Like a leper scratching his sores, being blinded by longing desire to scratch, and not seeing the faults of his desire, those with attachment who indulge their desires appear as having suffering like a leper to those who are free from attachment. During a famine, whatever acts of humiliation and abuse befall those who are protectorless and tormented with hunger, which they're willing to endure from a miserly rich man and the hope for some food, such are what toss about all those with attachment when they've met with a woman and are willing to endure in the hope for some pleasure. Some people, out of arrogant pride, develop attachment even for their latrines, and so never let anyone else make use of them. And some people who are attached to certain women are jealous of some other men. If out of ignorance you soiled yourself with something unclean, it's proper that you would become repulsed, whereas in no way would it be proper for you to become desirous and attached. Except for half-witted people, everyone would look down upon a vessel of filthy vomit and excrement. Therefore, why don't you consider as something to be looked down upon that from which this filth comes? When you look at the end result of what happens to any and every clean object after it's come in contact with a woman's body, such as the food she eats, what intelligent person would say, this body of a woman has a nature of cleanliness? Anyone who's resided inside the latrine of a mother's womb, where, if there weren't this filthy liquid, he couldn't stay there, such a person, who has a fetus, is like a filthy worm, could only develop arrogant pride that his body is clean because of his thick-headedness. No matter what method you use to wash, you cannot make the innermost parts of your body be clean. If you want to make efforts to clean the inside of your body, it will not come about by directing your efforts on its outside like this. If some of them had leprosy, all people covered with urine would not be alike. Just as those non-lepers covered with urine would hold their noses at the lepers, likewise they themselves would be avoided by everybody else. Just as some lepers with rotted appendages try to make themselves look jolly with an artificial nose, likewise vain is your desire to make yourself attractive with added flowers and so forth, because your body's unclean. Anyone who's become free from desire and attachment would consider it improper to say, "This body is clean." Therefore, there can be no phenomenon whatsoever that can become a cause for definitely making the body desirable and attractive. In short, impermanence, uncleanliness, suffering, and lack of an impossible self, all four can exist in one phenomenon, namely your own body.